Get snacking and get cracking with a snack that packs a protein punch. Pistachios are known for their protein power, fiber, and better-for-you unsaturated fats for a combination that may help you keep feeling fuller longer. Wonderful Pistachios is a good source of protein with zero guilt. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. I love that they come in a variety of sizes and flavors, making this the perfect protein snack for any on-the-go adventure. Check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
All right, we are back Monday morning. This is the Flow Track Podcast. I'm Kevin. He is Gordon. Lots to talk about today, not just recapping, but also previewing. Very busy week of track and field. Gordon, good afternoon. How are you doing, sir?
Doing great. Crazy. It's July 17th.
Yeah.
July's almost over.
Midway through July, and we got so many upsets at this meet over the weekend. Whoops, got my audio on here. We have so many upsets. The form charts are shifting underneath our feet with a lot of these events. And I thought maybe we would stand pat until Worlds, but there's a lot of things that are making me reconsider my picks and my predictions.
You thought it would be like a lame duck rest of the season where everything's going to be kind of chill, and then we really don't know everyone's true form until Worlds.
I thought if there was a race that was up in the air, maybe we'd get it leaning one direction or the other. I didn't think solid favorites would cast so much doubt about whether or not they're actually favorites. I'll say that.
And yeah.
That's what came out of this Diamond League meet for me.
And I was going to create some world rankings before this meet. And then I was like, I'll wait till this upcoming Diamond League and then I'll do it on Monday today.
Yeah.
But then I was like, after seeing this past Diamond League and knowing we have three big continental tours, which are live on Flowtrack, check them out, and then also Monaco, I was like, maybe I should just wait for those four international meets to take place before I
got put a better in the rankings. Idea. Wait till after the World Championships for the rankings.
That would be, or maybe just wait till next year. I'm going to do 2021 rankings tonight.
I did rankings last year for, you took, I think, US and NCAA. I did World for a long time last year, and it was really difficult because you just have to constantly do, there's so many meets, and you have once you get to that point in the year, nothing happens, and then all of a sudden everything happens, and then you just constantly, there's at least one result in one event that causes you to refresh them all the time, and this is one of those weeks.
And things happen, but did they really happen?
Sure.
Because were they actually jogging or not thinking about running, or was it, I mean, are we supposed to think Kayla White is better than Sha'Carri Richardson? No, but she did beat her.
Or what do you do with the men's 100 now?
Yeah.
Which we'll talk about.
Yeah. So, like, there's just upsets happen that aren't real upsets. Upsets happen that are real.
Mm-hmm.
There's fake upsets and real upsets.
Yeah.
So we're going to break down whether these upsets were real or fake.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what the title of this podcast should be.
Real or fake upsets?
Real or fake upsets.
We'll get into that. We'll also preview, you mentioned the Sheikh Eshkivayev, our Continental Tour. We also got the Madrid Continental Tour coming up. We'll talk about that. But first, we got a sponsor again this week. You can see it on the screen if you're watching on YouTube or after the pod. Wonderful Pistachios. Are you looking for a delicious and nutritious snack that packs a real protein punch? Crack into a good source of protein with tasty, healthy, Wonderful Pistachios. Each 1 ounce serving of Wonderful Pistachios contains 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. One of the highest protein nuts out there, but that's not all. Pistachios are also known for their fiber and better for you unsaturated fats, which may help keep you feeling fuller longer. And the best part, Mr. Mac, Wonderful Pistachios come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on your summer adventures. I know you had a lot of summer adventures. You're always floating down rivers and hanging out with friends and going on road trips, things like that. That's what Gordon does. So whether you're dropping, it wasn't a critique, it was true. You do a lot of things. So whether you're dropping off the kiddos, me, as we mentioned, or running between meetings, Gordon, big meeting guy, fuel up with a healthy and tasty snack, Wonderful Pistachios will be your new go-to snack. Check out wonderfulpistachios.com To learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day, what's the website again, Gordon?
WonderfulPistachios.
There it is.
.com.
Wonderful Pistachios.
Or just Google it.
Yeah, WonderfulPistachios.com.
Yeah.
We'll tell them the website. Save them a step. There it is.
Yeah.
All right. We want to do real and then fake upsets, but I think we should first start with Jakob.
Because that's never going to be an upset.
Never going to be an upset. And you were really wrong on this. You said he was just going to jog. You said he was going to untie one of his shoelaces. You said he was going to practice a kick. He didn't do any of that. He did the Jakob playbook and just did it to full effect. Ran a PR, new European record. Only three guys in history faster than him. 3:17.14. Gave the world record a little bit of a...
3:27.
What did I say?
3:17.
Not 3:17. That would have been an actual world record. But 3:27.14. 3:27.14. I think we're upgrading, to coin a phrase, to quote former colleague Alex Lohr, we've upgraded to record watch. Now we're in record warning. We're on world record warning now.
So watch,
yeah, I don't even know.
What's the weather? There's weather, there's watch warning.
So Alex is from South Dakota, weather, so I just phrases. Take his opinion on storms.
Watch versus warning.
Yeah, what's higher? What's a higher level?
A watch means that conditions are favorable for severe weather. A warning means that severe weather is happening right now.
Good. All right. So let me start over and let me say this. The last three meets for Jakob Ingebrigtsen, we're on world record watch. We have now upgraded that to world record
warning.
Because he ran 3:27.
It's happening right
14.
Now.
It's not happening, but it's looking more and more likely. He just keeps knocking time off of his personal best. And this time was the one time when you thought, with 200 to go, they were even reading the splits. They're comparing his splits to El Guerrouj's splits when he ran the world record. They hadn't really done that before. 3:27 low, I think, puts him in the conversation. The world record, of course, 3:26.00, still needs more than a second to go. But I think for the first time, I'm feeling like this is a real possibility this year.
Do you really do think that?
Yes.
But it would only happen at Monaco, right? It's not happening at Worlds. It's not going to happen post-Worlds.
Maybe.
So I think we're going to know in like a week.
He has the ability to do it now. I think he can do it after Worlds. Why not? It would go against what we know normally. But I'm just saying he's at that level. He's at that ability level of...
Okay. Does he want to?
Yeah, I think he wants to. He said he wants a fast race. That's when I knew your prediction about him just going out there and using it as a world championships tryout was –
Well, you say it and then you change it. It's all part of the process.
If he can do it like that where – now, granted, here's how you knew it was serious too. Stuart McSwain was rabbiting. That is the highest level of rabbit. You can't really get much
higher. A 3:29 guy rabbiting your race.
Exactly.
Pretty good.
And you are at that point, he was a 3:28 guy. And he went all the way to 1,200. So you're not going to get any better in terms of rabbiting. You could get better in terms of competition because he was pretty far ahead. So you could get somebody on his back. But it reminded me, you know, Dibaba goes for the world record and they just trot out like the best of the best to rabbit for as long as possible. So I think he can get it done this year. I think it's going to take the right race. It's going to take a perfect race, but it's not far off.
All right. We'll see. Let's get into the...
That's it? We'll see?
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, the guy's running. He's, what, won 13 1500s in a row or something like that since his loss to Whiteman? Not 1500s, but races in a row since his loss to Whiteman. It makes that upset even more of a crazy upset.
Yeah.
That makes that upset seem like a not real upset because of how good Jakob has become. Like, how did that happen?
How good he was prior and then how good he was after.
Yeah.
It's just one moment in time.
It's just crazy. What do you think his odds are going to be to win?
Oh, he's a massive favorite.
Like,
might be one of the bigger ones. Some people might
20
wait,
to 1?
Though, yeah, some people might wait really heavily.
I mean, 1 to 20, -500?
Yeah, some people might wait really heavily, though, losing to Whiteman, in which case, jump on all that,
because
that's good value. Adam says, Jakob said he's not racing again until Worlds. So that would
no Monaco.
Answer the question. Well, look, so pull up the Monaco order of events, if you can there. Look at the program for Monaco. There's not a men's...
It's in French.
Okay, translate. But you can figure out mile or 1500.
There's a men's 5K, which he's not running. There's a woman's mile. There's a men's 800. There's no men's mid-distance.
Exactly. So I always thought maybe they'll add something non-Diamond League at the last minute, perhaps. as a chance, but sounds like he said publicly that he's not going to race until Budapest. I still stand by my statement. We're still on world record watch because it's possible anytime. Warning. Dang it. See? This is why I should never live near storms.
You could not be a weatherman.
Yeah, I'll be terrible.
Worst weatherman ever. Do they have weather podcasts where they talk about the weather on a podcast?
I hope so. That'd be pretty cool. Like just national or do you have a local?
Like local. It's like, hey, today's weather report. Like podcast.
But would they do a whole, like would it be 2 minutes? Or are you talking?
Like a whole hour.
15, 20.
They interview weathermen and talk about.
Like what's your Mount Rushmore of weather?
Yeah.
Podcast topics.
Do weather drafts.
Yeah. Lightning versus hail.
Yeah.
First round. Who you got?
I don't know. Yeah. Depends. Yeah. Depends on.
Were the clouds yesterday elite?
Time of the week. Yeah. All right. Let's talk about the sprints. Is it time? Can we do it?
Go ahead.
All right. What do you want to start, men or women?
Let's start. I have a old list here to help out Tyler, who's producing. Shout out, Tyler. Women's 100 is next.
Okay. Women's 100.
Yeah, women's 100.
So, okay. I have a unique take on this. The result, I don't know. Maybe my brain just isn't doing a good job here with analyzing this race. But when I saw Sha'Carri's first 50 meters of that race, it looked like the first 50 meters of when she was getting eliminated in the first round at USA's. It looked like it just had like a I don't have it vibe. And it was like just everyone else. But then I was like, wait a minute. No, wait. Everyone else is going slower. She's passing everyone. And then she beat Sharika Jackson, one of the top favorites in the world. And I was like, seeing her win a race in that way, I've never seen. And she made a 10.76 look like an 11 flat. Which made me think that when she runs like it's a 10, like that she's priming for a big PB a month from now. Because I watched that race. I thought she ran 11 flat.
No.
Maybe it's an optical illusion. I think it was an optical illusion with the angle. But I just was watching that. And I was like, she had a bad start. Like, what place was she in after like 20 meters? She's probably in fifth or sixth place.
No, I thought she did a good job getting out. Sharika just ran really well from about 30 to 60 and took control.
So maybe it was
and then Richardson
the field making her look like she didn't
have a good start. She wasn't running against a first round field. She was running against a really good field.
That's why my brain was broken because it's like it looked like she was running 11.
No, I think you overrated the first 10 meters of this race. I think you put way too much in the first 10 meters
of the
race.
That's probably what I did.
My takeaway was people acting like this was surprising, like it was some huge upset.
No, she beat her already.
Already, yeah. This is already a thing that's happened.
Yeah.
Since then, obviously, Jackson's run 10.65, but this confirms what we already know. These two are really close. Yeah. They're going to be really close. And there's three other women that we think can factor in the gold medal picture with Alfred, with Talu, and then Fraser Price being the ultimate unknown at this point in the season. We'll see her run in Madrid this week. So there's not much distance between Jackson and Richardson right now.
It did show, though, that there's not like a dominant. Obviously, Richardson is 2-0 against Jackson. And if someone is 2-0, that means you never lost. You're the best, right? But it doesn't feel like someone being 0-2 versus Jakob Ingebrigtsen. Like an 0-2 versus Jakob Ingebrigtsen isn't the same thing as Jackson's 0-2 versus Richardson. I feel like perfect scenario and just like the situation is set up that Jackson could easily beat Richardson. But Richardson right now has her number.
Two 100ths of a second. And the one in Doha wasn't a blowout by any means either. It's real close. It's real close. We're talking about fractions of seconds here. They want the best of the best to run against each other, and then it happens, and then no one knows how to handle it.
Yeah, I didn't know how to handle it.
It's very strange.
I think the one thing I took from this is the way Richardson will lose is if she makes a mistake. I don't think someone is going to out-talent her and win.
Out talent her.
I think if Richardson has a 90% to 100% version of what she can do, she'll win.
Well, I can think of one person who could get to a level that she hasn't been to.
No,
yet.
I disagree.
You don't think
that one person is 34, 35? How old is she?
Yeah, last year she ran. You're talking about who can get to a level that they've never been before. The answer is Fraser Price.
Yeah, there's a time machine in 2022. We're talking about this year.
Okay.
No, hold on. No. Richardson right now, if she runs...
You're saying she has the highest... You can Yes, you can say both things. She has the highest ceiling in 2023, but shouldn't have the highest ceiling overall.
Well, yeah, we're not talking about all... She's not racing Flojo and Carl Lewis and Bolt and Curly aren't racing each other. Like, we're not doing all-time races here. We're doing 2023
Shelly Ann was pretty fast last year.
She was, but Shelly Ann also has not run 100 all year. She's running her first 100 live on Flow Track in Madrid. Check it out. Was it Wednesday or Friday?
Wednesday. Keep going.
But what I'm trying to say is, Richardson, if she runs 90% to 100% of what she's capable, no one will beat her. The only way she loses, if she runs 89.99% or slower, and Jackson or a Alfred or a Shelly Ann comes in and takes the whip.
Tolu as well. I mean, I think that's just reading too much into it. I think she needs to run a 95 to 100% race, and Jackson's that good. Jackson doesn't leave that much margin for error. I thought this was a great race for both of them, and I think they're just that close. So I'm interested to see Shekesh Gavayevar. She's running against Alfred. Alfred we haven't seen in a while. Alfred kind of has wild card potential too, just because she's coming off a collegiate season. But you look at her consistency this year, but that's just a whole different level of competition. And she's going to have somebody with her 80 meters. What is this? This reminds me of last year.
Who would you rather be in whose shoes right now? Richardson or Jackson's?
Like, who's the favorite? I think Richardson has to be the favorite because she's won too. I think, though, like Jackson, I like the experience factor with Jackson going all the way through.
To be have the experience but not be the favorite is probably a better shoe to be in than being the favorite without the experience.
It also is – we're so unaccustomed to two stars, and there's very few stars in track and field, but these two are stars doing this, running against each other multiple times. Yeah. And like I said, we don't know how to process it or compute it. I do think in some regard there is an advantage mentally – to not, you know, then you come in as a little bit of an underdog, right? You're coming in.
Well, you got to maintain your 2-0 record against me.
Yeah. And it switches the pressure. If they had never raced this year and we just got to the World Championships and it was Richardson versus, and let's just say Thompson Hurrah, Fraser Price, and Jackson were all on the line and they all were like in pretty good form, all the pressure would have been on them. It wouldn't have been on Richardson. Yeah. Now, maybe there would have been some on Richardson because just someone casually tuning in and seeing like U.S. top U.S. runner, they think, oh, the top U.S. runner is going to win. But that's a very casual person who's not been paying attention to sprints. All the pressure would have been on them. I need to shift some of the pressure back, which I think is good in 100. It's good to be an underdog, I think, in 100.
Swoboda.
Boda,
apologies. PB, 10.94, beats Tonisha Terry, 10.99. She'll probably find a way to sneak onto that, maybe into the final. I mean, at the women's depth, especially once we see what Shelly Ann does in the 100, when you have Shelly Ann, Jackson, Richardson, Tolu, and Alfred. How many people did I just name?
Yeah, five. There's five.
That's the Mount Rushmore.
That's not how many people are on Mount Rushmore.
But like, in women's track and field, there's five heads to our Mount Rushmore.
Well, right now, let's just not get carried away. Those are the five we think that can win it. Because they've either run fast this year, run fast last year, or put out...
Those are the five that will win it. I will bet you...
No, I know that they're going
to... $1,000, one of those five will
win. Yeah, I know. What did I say? That should win it?
Could win it.
Okay, whatever. Same thing. The winner is coming from those five.
100%?
Yeah. The medalist maybe... There might be a medalist that sneaks in because there's a DQ or someone gets hurt or something like that.
Smith or something.
Yeah, the winner is coming from those five. Just a matter of who it is. But things can change, as we've seen. Let's jump over to the men's 100. Or Fred Curley, who I thought was a shoe-in to get the win. I thought he was going to have a resounding victory here. Actually gets beat by Akani Simbine. Very close race across the line.
The men's Your brain's 100, broken.
The men's 100
Your
just...
Your brain's broken.
Well, I said, listen, 2 through 10 is a big mess. But we knew number one.
Now
maybe we don't know.
1-10 is a big mess?
I'm still sticking with Curley. I'm still saying he's a favorite. I'll chalk it up to whatever was the issue in the 200 at USA's. Maybe some carryover. I don't know. Maybe some travel stuff. But, yeah, 997 for Simbine. Curley, 998. And then it was just a complete logjam there all the way through, like, 10.01. Five guys within the top, within 0.04.
Who's Emmanuel Asseme?
From Cameroon. He ran fast at Le Chat des Fonds, which is like way high altitude, so people always discount those marks. But he ran, let me look, I think it was a quick
time. He says his season's best is 996. I mean, Curly ran the exact same time. This is why I think it should look good for Curly. Because you think the defending world champion, a guy who has a 9.7 PB, in a race where he runs the exact same time, no offense to a semi of Cameroon, that maybe this isn't a true Curly performance. Because I think Curly is better than 0.000 seconds of a semi, because they ran the exact same time. And with that saying, I think this is more Curly ran poorly than Sebene ran.
Yeah, it wasn't
well.
an all-time race for Sebene, 9.9 high.
Yeah.
He's done that a bunch of times before. Yeah, this result makes more sense if you have Curly than at 9.91. That tracks more with what we've seen this year, but they're not going to play those games in the podium. They're not going to be, oh, you were only 0.02 behind this guy or that guy. We talked about Charleston versus Curly being interesting. I mean, that's, I guess, a silver lining for Curly. He has an off race, and he's still finishing runner-up in this one. But, yeah, that gap obviously now totally shrunk because Zarnell Hughes isn't here, Omanyala, et cetera. The other Americans aren't here. It is open, and if we see him again, we're all going to watch it through the context of who is the 100-meter favorite still. Because it's either going to go – there's not enough time left for somebody besides Curly to assert themselves as a clear number one. It's either going to be we're going into Budapest with Curly as the favorite, or it's genuinely wide open.
And really?
Curly might still be – he might have the best odds, but he's not the favorite. There's
if
not
Coleman
enough time.
Goes out there and runs 9.7.
It's not enough time. I've seen enough of his races where he's getting beat by guys. He's not the favorite. He could win – but there's not enough time. There's not enough time for someone to establish themselves as the top guy, other than Curly.
Yeah, because Curly was the only undefeated guy.
And now... Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he was giving losses to everybody. And, like, listen, Coleman, yeah, he's been solid. He's been great. But he just lost to Charleston.
Okay. So if Curly now has a loss, and everyone has losses to everybody, right? You listening?
Yeah, if you read the comments, someone says this was not an off race. Curly has run 9.9 in most of his races. He's only 9.988 was with plus 1.5. Wake up and smell the coffee.
All right, chill out. Curly's the defending world champion. Now that everyone has losses, what should be the thing we look to decide who the three best runners are in the world? Obviously, we'll have a race to decide that, but is it going to be head-to-head? Is it going to be season's best? Is it going to be PR? Or is it going to be finish at Worlds last year? Like, what should be the most important measuring stick to sort through the top eight guys?
I got an answer for you. You ready?
What?
World rankings. There's a device specifically for this question.
Yeah, but it has Trayvon Bermell number two.
And Marvin Bracey number three.
And neither of those guys are there.
Potential sweep again at Worlds. Watch out. Curly's one. Sebene four. Omanyala five. Coleman six. Blake Lyles. Seville.
So
Charleston. Very American heavy.
Yeah, I don't like the way they do the world rankings.
All right, so you don't like the world rankings. Well, get rid of that. What are we going to use? Yeah, I think most of it's going to come down to head-to-head because we don't have any crazy fast time and we don't have a person like Bolt who, all right, as long as we see, can you go 9.8 mid one time before Worlds? Okay, cool, check the box, he's a favorite. We don't have anybody like that. We don't extend them the same amount of latitude. Women's side, we would. If Fraser Price went out and, you know, a month, even if she debuted late, if she went out and ran a 10.6 or a 10.7 low, you'd be like, all right, favorite.
Yeah,
Jeff, done.
If she runs 10.7 this week, she's the favorite.
Yeah, you don't have that with the men. So I think it has to come down to head-to-head. And Curly's head-to-head up until this point has been really good. But now he has a loss, so we'll see what happens. If for some reason doesn't race again or keeps a low profile, I think he still goes in as the narrow favorite because he's the reigning champion. But it's not a big gap. It's not a big gap at all. It's barely at anything at this point.
Should all defending champions be the favorite?
No.
Who's a defending champion?
Jake Whiteman is not a favorite.
Okay, he's not running. He's literally not there.
Paulino is no longer the – oh, wait, Miloweba won. Never mind.
Yeah, name someone who's returning into that event who is no longer the favorite.
Well, Amusan just won, but I'd probably take Camacho Quinn right now over Amusan.
Okay. Is that disrespect
I'll take
Amusan?
Femke Bol is probably going to win the 400 hurdles.
Well, again, we're talking about athletes who are running the event that they're defending.
So Holloway would be a slight favorite, even though Bravo ran 12.94. I mean, some of that longer.
200?
This 5K, 10K stuff. Jackson's, Tariqa Jackson's favorite. What do you mean? Lyles is the favorite.
Gabby Thomas, pretty good.
Jackson's still the favorite. Jackson's still the favorite.
All right, in
the
sure?
Two. Yeah, she's the favorite.
Who has the world lead?
It's not, again, there's, she ran 21.45 last year. Like, she's
that was
one
last
of,
year.
She's one of those people, though, where
okay,
last
Jackson's
year matters.
The favorite?
Yeah, because she.
Shelly Ann's not the favorite in the one.
Right. She's not. Michael Norman's not the favorite in the 400.
Well, he's not running the 400. You can't pick people who are not running the event.
Manuel Carrere?
I'm not reporting that, by the way. Michael Norman still might run the 400. I'm just assuming he's hurt.
Hold on. You can look right in the camera. Tyler, can you zoom in? Gordon's going to report
something.
No.
I'm not reporting that.
Brian Windhorst over here.
I am not reporting that.
Okay.
I'm just like looking at their.
What's your question? Are there people who aren't favorites? Yes. Are there some?
But we have yet to find anyone. It's just Toby.
I've listed
Toby on the sub.
It's
the only person.
Emmanuel Carrere.
He's not going to be there. He's not going to be on the team.
Hence, not a favorite.
People who will be there. Actually, he probably will be there because he's the defending champion.
What do you mean? Yeah, what I'm saying. What do you mean?
But that's an obvious, like, the guy don't have it no more.
Okay, I would say. Well, I think in some of those fives and tens, I think it would be toss-ups.
But like in the sprints.
If you're just talking sprints.
400 and
Curly, still the favorite. Lyles, favorite. Norman, that you're saying that doesn't count. High hurdles. I think Holloway's probably a loss or two away if it's to Broadbell. I don't know if they're going to face off. Then that would switch. Warholm's still the favorite. Women's 400.
Warholm's not the defending champ. DeSantis is. DeSantis.
Yeah, that's
one. Okay. DeSantis is not the favorite.
But that's same thing.
It's injury
related.
Yeah.
So I don't – this game isn't as fun as you thought it would be when you introduced it. Women's high hurdles, yeah. Women's – because like Miller Weibo, they're not there. She's not there. Jackson is favorite. So it's just Fraser Price. But again, that's because she was out for a while.
I think it's easier to believe in the defending champion than it is to believe in defending silver or bronze medalists. I think a lot of defending silver and bronze, you're like, I only give you credit for what you did last year if it was a win versus if it was a silver or a bronze.
But here's the thing. Because most of the time, the person who went most of the time, not every time, we focus in on the upsets. But like most of the time, the person who has the best season, who is the favorite, wins.
Yeah.
So we feel good about Jackson a lot because of what she did in Eugene. But also look at the whole season and how good it was.
Yeah. All right. Men's 400. What do you have from this?
Men's 400, we have Wade Van Niekerk running another fast time.
How old is Wade?
Not very old. He's not very old.
Really?
Got injured at a pretty young age. Runs 40.
He's 31.
44.08.
That's pretty old for a 400-meter guy.
Right, but not like the legacy 400 guys, because Merritt was good late. MJ was good late. There's been a lot of guys who have been good later on in their career. But he just destroyed everybody the last 100. I thought Sam Nkonga might give him a run, but he pulled up way early in the race. Van Niekerk, we want to see more Steven Gardner. We want to see if Norman comes back, but Van Niekerk has a path to gold. Pretty obvious.
I can see a situation, no American medals.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the Americans didn't do too well.
That might be the median outcome, is no American medals. If you're talking about Gardner coming back to full strength.
Yeah.
There'll be someone else who squeezes in there. But Sam Nkonga, I think, is the one. He's the wild card because he's run under 44 seconds this year, and he's so young. So I think if he could work his way in there, if he could get into form by the time World Championships, I think he's got a really good ceiling. But Van Niekerk just keeps knocking off the time. Women's quarter, though, I think was what was interesting. Talk about real versus fake on the upsets.
What is it? Tell me the real versus fake. Presented by...
So,
wonderful percentage.
Kaczmarek of Poland wins, gets a PR, 49.48. Linka Klauber second, 49.81. Paulino, 50.00. So, well back. Remember, we saw her in Paris.
Sydney's like, I made a great decision.
I waited. I chilled. Yeah. No, I think Paulino will be back. I'm not worried.
You should be worried.
I should?
Yeah. I don't know what you'd be worried about. Is this scary?
Real
is
or fake?
Is track and field scary?
I don't think it's like it's real that Paulino is done. That's what I'm saying.
But what do you? For sure. I guess it's more not Paulino being done. It's more about can because Merrick be a legit player?
To beat Sydney? No. To get bronze? Maybe.
To get silver?
I just think one of either Wilson, Adeleke, Nasser, or Paulino will be better for silver.
Okay. So these 49-second PBs that...
It's going to take... Don't
Klaver
you think,
and Kazmarek was well, just like, meh.
Don't you think it's going to take sub 49 to PR? Or to medal?
You think third place will be 48 seconds?
Top two. I meant silver.
Why say silver? That's a boring thing. Say medal. Add in third. Have a take, man. The take should
Be... I don't think it... But
third place is running 48, 9.
I don't believe it. That's why. But I think it...
Do you know it's fun to say things you don't believe?
No, that's called lying.
It's not called lying. It's called... introducing conversation.
Look in the camera and say that again. So I think the top two are going to go sub 49. So if you're saying, can one of these women get into silver positions, like they need to knock off another half a second, or in Klaver's
I think third case, place is eight. Running 48 seconds.
Well, that
I
makes
think,
it even harder.
I think first place is running 47 seconds. I think second place is running 48 low. And I think third place is running 48 high.
Well, it sounds like you
and I'm, answered your own line. Question. That's
then.
Me just...
I know, but that you answered your own question then. Unless you think Klaver going to PR by
no
whole second
no.
again?
Because Merrick, though, she's according to this now, a low 49 runner. Because she ran 49-48. 48 is under 0.5. So she is 100%. She's the slowest low 49 runner in the history. I mean, she could have ran 49-49, which would have been perfect. But 49-48, her PB was 49-86. So she's chopping seconds off. I don't know. Why not? She could find a way to – I mean, Britton Wilson has had a long season.
Yeah. Yeah. Adeleke has had a long season.
Yeah.
Just went pro. I just – I think the gold medal spot is – but here's the thing. I think that those two things don't go together. If you believe it's going to take a 48 to get on the podium, it's got to come from one of those women that you already mentioned.
Yeah.
It's going to be Wilson or Adeleke shaving just a little bit of time
or Nasser,
off their PR. Yeah, Nasser didn't even need a PR. I don't think it's going to come from someone again, like going up, dropping another 0.7 of a second.
All right.
Could be wrong. Anthony says, dude, stop. No women running 47 for the 400. I agree with you, Anthony.
Wait, Anthony? No. Bet. You don't think Sydney's running 47.9?
Put your Venmo in the chat. Not this year, no. I don't think so.
You're wrong.
Yeah, I'm probably going to be wrong.
You're wrong.
I always do this.
You're very wrong.
I always do this with Sydney.
You're very wrong. You thought, she ran 50 seconds in a 400 hurdle last year.
Not enough people have explained that to me.
50.
Say it again.
I have a wall where I have a photo for every notable.
We've seen it. People watch the podcast. They see where we record.
Yeah, but I have a wall, and I have a photo from 2014 all the way through 2021, and I had to pick a 2022 photo. And the 2022 photo is
me
of Sydney.
Oh,
with her incredible like gap between first and second. So it's like the overhead shot. She made the wall for my 2022 moment. 2023 moment is still up in the air. I couldn't decide. I was like, I'll give it a few more months because maybe something from cross country.
2023?
Yeah.
We have world championships too.
I have to be there. I'm not going to be at Worlds.
Oh.
I have to be present.
I see. People want to bet money on your 47 second. Prediction.
All right. We'll wait till we get closer to Worlds.
Put the Venmo.
Wait
in
till
the
after
chat.
Semifinals and then we'll place it up. After December.
It's not how it works. Anything else you want to talk about with the Cilicia Diamond League?
Nah.
All right.
Every time I type out the word Cilicia, I spell it wrong.
Spell it incorrectly. Big stadium. Looks like they had over 20,000 there. Gigantic stadium.
This used to be a continental tour, right?
Yeah, and then it got upgraded because it replaced one of the other ones.
Probably one of the
ones in China.
China ones, yeah.
Well, because China added another one right as they started canceling. So they had two stops in there that they haven't done. All right.
Yo, who's bringing you this podcast?
This podcast. Thank you, Gordon. Sponsored by?
Wonderful Pistachios.
That's right. The website, wonderfulpistachios.com. Remember, they come in a variety of flavors and sizes. Perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on a summer adventure. We talk about how we enjoy the pistachios. Dropping off the kids, running between meetings, you're fueling up for that healthy snack. They're a good source of protein. Each 1-ounce serving of Wonderful Pistachios contains 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. One of the highest protein nuts out there, known for their fiber and better for you unsaturated fats, which help keep you feeling fuller longer. Again, the website is wonderfulpistachios.com. They are.
We have a new segment. New segment alert. It's called the controversial segment.
Is it let me finish the ad read?
No, it's segment? Not.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's it's called the controversial segment. You ready for the controversial segment? It's not sponsored by Wonderful Pistachios.
Okay.
So yeah. Wonderful Pistachios is sponsoring
the show.
Everything except for the next 2 minutes or 3 minutes. You see Shelby Houlihan ran again? She ran a 10K, wrote 10K, 30 minutes, 47 seconds, which is not the American record because it's not official, but it is faster than the American record that her former teammate, training partner, Shalane Flanagan.
You're talking about road 10K.
Yeah, road 10K, 30:47. She ran it in, I don't know the name of the meet. I should probably, it's like a local road. Second place was 37 minutes. So she ran 30:47, second place was 37 minutes. But she ran in a non-sanctioned road race. So I guess you're allowed to be in it because it's not sanctioned by USATF. But what are your thoughts on someone who's serving a 4-year ban, running faster than the American record in a road race that isn't sanctioned by any governing body, so she was allowed to run in it because it's, you know.
Yeah, not every race is going to be sanctioned. That's just the reality of it.
Yeah.
And she's allowed to run in races that are
not sanctioned.
Not sanctioned. The race director, I suppose, could put something in the contract or entry form and prohibit this sort of thing. But by and large, that's not the focus of race directors in community runs. They're trying to just get people out there to run, maybe raise some money, maybe make a profit. They're not really thinking of it from the elite perspective of the sport. But in terms of what type of shape she's in, I mean, her band, we've talked about this, you know, with the last time that she came up. It's very clear she's going to keep going. It's very clear that the band is up in 25, correct?
Yeah.
So she'll miss the Olympics next year, but then the 2025 season, she'll be ready to go. She's gotten through what appears like the beginning part had to have been the most difficult. The initial shock of, okay, I'm banned. I can't compete. Am I going to keep doing this? Looks like she's gotten through that and maintained the same level of form. I think, yeah, it means she's going to be back in 2025. You can do the math about, okay, peak and your age and all this stuff. So many people are running so fast late in their careers now. And I think that people need to be ready. Now, most people, a lot of people, no, I shouldn't say most, I'll let people make up their mind, but some people aren't going to like it when she comes back, but it looks very clearly like that's the direction that she's trending. It's not as if sometimes people get the long suspensions and they just move on with their life and they're done with running or track and field. That's not what's happened here. She's still running.
Yeah, she ran 30:47 over 10,000 meters.
Right. It's fast. It's fast.
It's very fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a weird thing because you're like, it angers people, but let's be honest. Running in this race is not the same thing as her running in like the New York City Marathon or a
that would sanctioned not be allowed. Yes.
Run wherever. You know, like, you can't get, like, it's just, I guess technically because there's a online result of it, she could have just ran around her block 10,000 meters and run 30:47. No, no. But I think it's because it gets recorded in an official capacity, even though technically it's not really official because, again, it's not a sanctioned race.
Things seem more official than they are now because they get the put internet. Onto websites.
Yeah.
And screenshot. Like, things look as if they're equal value. Now, if you scroll down and you look, okay, what was second place? And you realize it was 37 minutes. Or you look in the men's side of things and you see the winner was 35:14. No disrespect for those times. Times I myself am very familiar with. Hell yeah. And no longer
familiar
with.
Big shout out to the brothers, yeah. Taylor Huseman and Evan Huseman. They finished fourth and fifth.
Four, five, yeah. Two top five spots right there. So this is very clearly a community run.
Yeah.
We can decipher that from the results. And is she allowed to, like, if you're going to ban somebody from even running in community runs, it feels almost unenforceable because there's way too many races going
on at
end point.
Can, if Ja Morant, is he allowed to play pickup basketball during his game, 25-game suspension?
Mm-hmm.
And like in a park? Is that illegal? Probably not, right? But technically, it's a game with scoring, and there's a winner and loser.
Yeah.
But it's not sanctioned by the NBA. It's pickup basketball. This is the same thing. It's not sanctioned by any governing body. It's just pickup running. They're doing pickup running.
Well,
meet me around
the
block.
And because it's pickup running, and because it's not sanctioned, we also have to question the length of the race as well. David points out in the chat, look on Strava, everyone who ran shows it was short.
Oh.
You got to find some PRs. You got to find some comparable marks. Does that link
I don't up? Have enough time in my day or week to sleuth around random.
He said, so David says barely 6 miles.
Barely 6 miles.
Okay. So we add, let's add 90
point
seconds
two,
to that.
Like point three, add point three.
Yeah. Add 90 seconds to it just to be conservative. Add 90,
but still, I think that it's going to show she's probably recognizing her. She's going to be up there in age and that she's going to have to try to make a 10K team and then I'll eventually move to the marathon when she's like 35.
Mm-hmm.
Like she's going to probably try to make the 2028 marathon team.
Okay.
Right?
Check back in with me on that one.
I will.
Bottom of the hour.
Add right. Google alerts.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on. Let's preview some stuff.
Well,
a couple of the results Gordon wants to talk about.
Yeah. Obviously, people are chasing the standard. Joe Wascom made an attempt at it in the 1500. Came up short. Ran 334.64. Just missed the standard. But his world ranking is going to be fine. So even if he doesn't get the official time standard, Joe Wascom's odds of being on the team via world ranking are like 99%. I made a mistake earlier. I had Will Clay not having a high enough world ranking. There was an error on the World Athletics page. He does have the world ranking, but it's just not there. So Will Clay is in. And then also Sean McGordy ran 13.02, again, the 5K ranking, 5K standard. So the 5K team is now set with Abdi Hamid, Paul Chelimo, and Sean McGordy. Now, the big question is, will McGordy chase a 10K mark, maybe in LA? There's a Under Armour Sunset Tour meet there. That's to be determined. And then if he says no, will Grant Fisher take the fourth spot? If Grant Fisher says no, is Connor Manch just out there being like, give me a local 10K for me to run to get on the team? But we'll have to wait on that. But Sean McGordy got his first, the big thing out of the way, which was running 13.02. So, all right, let's preview this week. Tomorrow, this is meet tomorrow. So, if you're listening to this,
yeah, it's on
the meet already happened.
It's on Tuesday. Sheikh Eshkivayevar. Then we have another Continental Tour on July 20th. Then July 22nd, Madrid. That's when Shelly and Fraser Price is scheduled to run. So that would be on Saturday. Fraser Price would be on Saturday. But so let's just talk about tomorrow's race. Continental Tour.
No, it won't be on Saturday.
The 22nd?
Oh, yeah. Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. Yeah. Okay, you're right. Sorry. My brain. I got to apologize for my
brain. We just saw Richardson and Jackson race. Now they're going to run again, but not against each other. This time, Richardson is going to be in the 100. Jackson will be in the 200. The 100, though, is interesting because we're going to see Julian Alfred enter the mix. One of the women we think could medal, potentially, has an outside shot at the gold. In the 200, Adeleke, her former Texas teammate, is in there. So is Kayla White, who just made the team. Tamara Clark as well. But it's cool that we're getting to see Jackson and Richardson again, even if they're not running in the same race.
Yeah, and I'm just really excited to see Julian Alford's going to be an interesting one because it is her first race after a long break. If Julian Alford goes out there and like gives Sha'Carri a run for her money, it's gonna really open everyone's eyes that like that 100 meter final is gonna be quick.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be good. There's gonna be someone who gets fourth who probably would have medaled in every previous global championship because of how deep it's slowly becoming. So I'm excited to see how she does. But I also can see Julian Alford go out there, run like 10.9 and not have a good race because, you know, she's flying overseas. She had a long college season.
She's just kind of gearing up again for another run.
This is going to be like her running at the Longhorn Invitational. But it happens to be in Sheshkevayevar.
And you shake Eshkevayevar.
Shake. Hold on. Kesh.
Kevayevar. Yeah, I think.
Kesh Kevayevar.
I repeated what I heard someone else say 2 years ago, and that stuck in my head.
I will give you $20. Right now.
I can't spell it. I'm not even
trying. Just step.
S-Z-E-K-E-V-A-Y-A-R. V-E.
Okay, good.
Oh. I got pretty far?
You got pretty far. You got pretty, it was an S.
Oh, so, yeah. My bad.
All right.
Which is like awesome meet.
Yes.
Always an awesome meet.
Tamara Clark, I'm excited to see. She had a good semifinal and then kind of faded in the women's 200 final at USA's. But I think Tamara Clark could still put together a good 200. Again, Jackson's going to win it, but excited to see that. And then also on the men's side, we got some interesting hundreds and 200s on the men's side.
Well, and 400 and as 400s. Well. We had talked about Stephen Gardner. Where does he fit in with Van Niekerk running 44 low? He's in this race, so I'm curious to see him. Vernon Norwood's in there. He just got runner-up at USA's. Knighton in the 200 coming off his USA's win. That could be interesting. A lot of Jamaicans in the men's 100 with both Blakes, Ford, and Watson, in addition to Ronnie Baker and PJ Austin. Yeah, it's going to be – I think Knighton, everybody will gravitate to watch what Knighton does. See, hey, can he close that gap on Lyles in terms of time? But I'm also watching the 4 and the 1.
I'm mainly watching the 1 because I'm excited to see Akeem Blake, Johan Blake, Raheem Ford, and Rohan Watson. All sub-10 guys now, mm-hmm. because Rohan Watson and Raheem Ford have come on strong and run sub-10 this year, I believe. I think, yeah, this year. So the Jamaican team is also kind of weird because there's no Akeem Blake on it. It's like, and one their top two, obviously there's no Johan Blake on it, and also one of their top guys at the trials didn't run the final. So there's just like all this unique depth in the Jamaican team where the three guys who are going to be on a starting line at Worlds won't be technically necessarily the three best Jamaicans. So I'm excited to see how they run against, I guess you could look at, it's the B U.S. team with PJ Austin, Ronnie Baker, Marvin Bracey. It's crazy. Marvin Bracey's now on the B team because he's after getting second in the world last year. But you know what I'm saying. He's not, you know, it's hard to make the U.S. team. So I'm excited to see how the Jamaicans do, who actually is the top Jamaican in that race. I can't even see the Jamaicans going 1, 2, 3 in that race. To be great for clicks. People watch that video.
All in the game, Alfred won the 100 at the CAC Games in 11:14 with a minus 2.2 2 weeks ago. So this won't be here. This is not the Longhorn Invitational.
Dude, what would we do without our chat? Our chat are our great statisticians. They help us
through
this podcast.
I watched that race.
So thank you for pointing that out. Because now
blew it. I should have called Gordon out on that.
We're going to put up the clip without that fact, and then everyone's going
to
put in the comments.
No, I'll cut around that. Okay, I'll make you seem smarter. Still, I think – all right. So she ran once, but this is the first time with really serious competition. So this is just an – it's an inching race because it's Julian Alfred testing herself in 2023 against a potential gold medalist in Richardson. That's what's going to make this really exciting.
There's only been two women to win the 100 meters in the NCAA in Austin, Texas, and they're racing each other.
No, they hosted the meet back in the day, I think. Oh, Austin never hosted outdoors?
I made that up. The two past Austin NCAA outdoor champions. Because, I mean, that was the thing. Sha'Carri was tweeting out about whether or not her record was going to get broken.
Yeah.
Julian Alfred would have broken it, but the wind was not legal, so she never actually got the official record. But you're not going to find it.
I should have future sites.
You're not going to find it.
Here we go. No, I found it.
You're not going to find it.
Found it.
You're not going to find it.
It's men's. Let's just go women's because I think they used to split
them up.
You're not
going to find it. You're not going to find it.
I am.
Stop trying
to
find
it. Come
on, Wiki. You're not finding it.
Get me there. Ah, here it is. Host. 1985. Austin hosted.
Who won the women's 100 in 1985?
So let's look up. Let's see. Hold on. Let's see if there's another one.
This is the stupidest.
No, this is good.
Okay, so we have Sha'Carri, who won in 2019. Julian Alfred, who won in 2023. And then 1985. Who won NCAAs in Austin, Texas in 1985?
So Oregon won the women's.
No, individual won the 100.
Yeah, I'm having trouble finding individual results.
Dude, 1985, here we NCAA.
Go. See if Track and Field News has got it.
Women's.
Oh, they do. Very small print.
Who won?
I'm looking it up. Hold on. This is like screen. Here we go. Michelle Finn, Florida State, 11:04.
Michelle Finn, what does she go on to do?
Oh, you should know this.
I should?
Yeah.
Oh, No, that's a different Michelle Finn.
Yeah. See, I'm ahead of you now.
Oh, I do. Oh, yeah. Michelle Burrell Finn?
Yeah. That's Leroy's.
Leroy's wife.
Yeah.
What was her best performance?
Well, she was the 1985 NCAA 100 meter champion.
We know that.
She made the team in 92, got a gold on the relay.
Okay, so she didn't win individual gold?
Went to Florida. Yeah, went to Florida State. 11-16 in Lausanne.
Best finish was a third place finish.
Yeah, she got third at USA's in 93 in the 200.
All right.
A little history lesson. So you want to show the video of you dunking?
If Michelle Finn, yeah, okay. I'm still trying to dunk.
Tyler, can you put the video
I'm still trying to dunk. It was my goal in 2022 to dunk a basketball. I'm not giving up. And I came...
That close.
I came close. You're telling me I need 6 more inches. I don't... Let's watch that back again. I don't think I need 6 more inches of dunking. I think I need like 2.
Well, what does the chat think? Let's run this on loop, Tyler.
Yeah, run this on loop, Tyler. But you...
Maybe it's 4 inches?
No, I think I need 2.
Let us know, chat. How much more?
Where is it? Where am I? Is it in slow-mo? What's going on? There I am. Okay. Yeah,
he's making it even slower. So you look even slower. First of all, the rim is clearly bent. I don't want to throw shade.
No, it's not. It just looks at that angle.
Here he comes again. Here's Gordon. All right. Can you go back a tiny bit, Tyler? Is that possible? Yeah, perfect.
Okay. All I gotta say, this is better than January 2022.
Way better. You're doing great, man. You're doing great. I just think it might need a little bit more.
Okay.
You don't think you need 6 inches more?
I don't know if I need 6. Maybe 2. Do you think I'll get it by the end of the year?
See, now you're fighting Father Time, though. This is what we talk about. Do you think so-and-so is going to be able to get the standard?
I'm still 35. Yeah. I haven't turned 36 yet.
I like the fact you were able to grab the rim at the end of it. You weren't just slapping.
Yeah. I think I'm going to get it. Maybe I'll do another attempt like in August, end of August. It is hot out there. I got tired quickly. It's hard to breathe.
You're still...
It's 103 degrees in Texas.
You're doing... Your workout plan is probably really still pretty silly.
Yeah, I have a silly ass workout
plan. Yeah, like still doing push-ups.
Yeah, I'm just doing things. I'm just going to the gym, saying hi to everyone. I'm trying to dunk.
Yeah.
Nice to meet you.
You do a little bit of plyos? Just step away from the box jumps entirely, but just do some like bounding and skipping?
I haven't done any plyometrics.
Yeah, I think that's...
I've done 0
plyometrics. Well, no, you did. Box jumps are plyometrics.
Yeah, but I just do leg presses.
You bled all over the gym, and then you stopped. Yeah, do some lunges, do some squats.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to get the dunk.
People said good progress. Khalil said good progress. Demo Blake said he's close.
Appreciate it. See, chat respects it. I appreciate that, chat.
People are asking, how are you 6'4 but can't dunk a basketball?
I'm 6'3.
Yeah, not 6'4.
Not 6'4.
He's 35 years old.
And I'm 35. So that's why.
Yeah.
If I would have tried this when I was 22, I probably would have got it a lot quicker.
Quicker.
I also had to like lose 30 pounds to go about doing this, so it's like a whole process.
Did you trust it?
I'm trusting it. I'm still trusting it. So next step is to keep going. And then I'm not giving up because as soon as I get it, I'm going to do my backflip.
People were asking about that.
I'm doing the backflip. But the rules are you got to finish the dunk. I'm not abandoning a goal to do a new goal. You got to finish.
Yeah, even if it takes 3 years.
Finish it. You got to finish it. You know, what's the line? Finish something. It's like finish
what you start.
Yeah, finish where I started. Yeah, I don't know what the line is, but there's some phrase that you see on the internet.
Okay,
about finishing.
I believe it. I believe you. All right, thanks Tyler for producing.
Yeah, thank you Tyler. Like and subscribe. We'll be back on Monday.
Yeah, and we got a bunch of meets this week that you can check out, so subscribe to the channel if you haven't yet, the YouTube channel.
Special announcement next Monday.
Yeah. Special announcement. Stay tuned for that. It's not going to be about Gordon dunking.
Nope.
Will not be about that. Talk to you guys then.